You're tuned into Morning Edition on KASU Jonesboro. It's 8:19. I'm Mark Smith. Joining me by phone this morning is U.S. Senator John Bozeman. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, Mark. Thank you so much for having me.
Good to have you with us. NPR, of course, just talking about discussing the issue of Israel, Palestine, Middle East issues in light of the U.N. General Assembly meeting. And we've been hearing on the news much talk from Iranian President Ahmadinejad. President Obama is to address the General Assembly today. Lots and lots of issues involving the nuclear program in Iran, the threat to Israel, how Israel might respond to that threat, just one of the many issues that this world body is facing.
No, there's so much. And then, you know, we can throw Egypt in there, and it appears that the Muslim Brotherhood is beginning to run it, and certainly their history is such that they would not be very friendly to the United States or the West. Libya also, you know, is in turmoil, and so just so much going on in the world right now. Israel cannot allow Iran to develop nuclear weapons in the sense that when you listen to the Iranians, you know, they say the first thing they're going to do is use that weapon against them. And so we need to be very supportive, you know, as we go forward. This is a very difficult situation. It's a time where we do need to all stand together as Americans and really kind of feel this thing through. But it is important. You've got that. You've got the currency, not currency, but just the economy in Europe having problems. So the world right now is really a very difficult, very dangerous place.
Indeed, and there is an investigation, I understand, going on the attack in Libya on our U.S. consulate there. It resulted in, of course, the death of our ambassador and three others. How are we responding, or how should we respond as this investigation goes through and we try to determine, was this a deliberate planned attack or a response to this film that they've been talking about on the Internet? How should we respond, and are we responding appropriately now?
Well, I think this was, the facts are coming out now that this was a planned attack. You had a bunch of guys drive up with, you know, in trucks with heavy military equipment, you know, and attack the embassy. I think that the film, you know, was used to incite and as an excuse and things, but this was very definitely a planned attack. The good thing in Libya is that the Libyans are fighting back. I mean, they're almost having a mini civil war within themselves and saying, no, you know, we're not going to tolerate this. The ambassador was very popular, you know, among the people, and so that's a real positive thing that the Libyans are pushing back, really, against a group of thugs.
Yes.
That are trying to hijack the revolution.
Yeah. You know, in Egypt, the attack on our embassy there seems to have been more related to this Internet film.
I think that's probably true. The sad thing there, though, is that the Prime Minister has done nothing to tamp things down or didn't very early on. And their views of freedom of speech are so different than ours. You know, they are quite content, you know, to take somebody's life if they dare say something bad about their religion. Certainly, I don't agree with saying, you know, denigrating other people's religion, but I do believe that we have the opportunity to say what we want to say. And yet they're so intolerant. You know, Coptic Christians that have lived there since the time of Christ are being persecuted and killed. So it's just a very difficult situation there. The United States so has to stand firm. And if the Egyptians are not going to follow through with basic principles, then we really do need to reevaluate our support and aid of them.
Well, let's talk about some issues that are important to a major segment of our Arkansas economy, and that's agriculture. Our current farm bill is due to expire in less than a week, and we still don't have a new one. Why? Who's blocking it?
Well, there's a real debate in Congress right now, and again, I'm very much in favor of a farm bill, and have worked really very, very hard with Rick Crawford and Senator Pryor, who's done a great job trying to push this thing forward. This isn't about Democrats and Republicans. This is, early on was about regional agriculture. We're southern agriculture that does a lot of irrigation. Our safety net needs are very different than regions that don't irrigate, the eyes that grow a lot of corn and things like that without irrigation. And so I think we can resolve all of that without any problem. We just need to get a bill passed in the House, get it in conference, and then we will solve the farm issues. As you know, only of $1 trillion, only $200 million has anything to do with farmers. 20% of the bill, 80% of it has to do with food stamps and things like that. And there's a real debate going on in Congress right now, the need to reform the program to get rid of some of the waste and fraud that's going on. And there is waste and fraud going on. We certainly need to help those in need. I'm a co-chair of the Hunger Caucus and understand how important this is. But the program does need to be cleaned up, and people need to be held accountable when they're abusing the system. That's really what's going on now, is how do you do that, and how are you able to go forward that the conservatives in Congress want to get done, and then make it such that you lose all of the liberal votes. And that's really what's being worked out. So I've got great confidence that we'll go back and get this worked out in the lame duck. This is not only so important for the people of Arkansas, and it's such a major, major portion of our state's economy, but it's important for the country for the same reason. We've got the thanks to our farmers and their hard work, and I know you all just got done with your fair where you celebrate a lot of ag and livestock, and my girls were real active in 4-H and did the sow of cotton and all of those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Where you're celebrating that, but we've got the safest, cheapest food supply in the world, and we need to do what it takes to maintain that, and that means getting a farm bill passed.
Surely, it seems that this should have and could have been done without putting it off until after the election.
Well, it's this. There's so many things, Mark. I mean, we talk about this fiscal cliff. That should have been done. All of these things, and what it's doing in not having good leadership to get it done is that it puts a wet blanket on the economy. I had a young farmer in a couple weeks ago that was talking about needing to buy a new tractor. He's not doing that, so he's not borrowing the money from the bank, which is good for the bank. He's not going to the implement dealer, and the list goes on and on. And the reason he's not is because he doesn't know what the rules are going to be of the farm bill over the next 5 years. But the same is true in so many other industries. All of this regulations hanging out there, we don't know what our tax rates are going to be. We don't know what our health care costs are going to be. Very, very high energy prices with gasoline, and so all of it is making it very difficult. We simply have to address those problems and get them solved.
Well, of course, we've gotten some rain. The drought has ended for much, but not all of Arkansas. But it's been a very, very tough summer for farmers and ranchers, so tough that it's actually driven some of them out of business. In this tough political climate that we've been talking about, even emergency assistance for these farms and ranches has been a contentious issue.
Well, this has been such a difficult year. I used to have a bunch of cows and very, very active in that regard. And so, I especially notice these things, but the lack of forage, no pasture, no hay. And then what happened late in the summer was that all the stock ponds were drying up. And so farmers have had to sell off their herds, which... the bad thing there is that's not something that you can replace in a year to get a herd back together, and get your replacement. That's probably a 5-year proposition. So you're right. That's another thing and that we have to do is provide some drought relief so that we can, not only, when we help the farmers, we're helping ourselves in the sense of making it such that we can continue to have a very cheap source of food, and that's so important. We talk about helping people and what does it do to single moms? What does it do to people on fixed incomes when prices of food and things skyrocket?
Well, of course, there's been it seems like so little done in Congress this year because of it being an election year and so many things are being put off until the lame duck session, until next year. One thing it seemed like that everybody ought to be able to agree on is it was a bipartisan bill to help returning veterans get back into the workforce. You, I understand, helped work on the bill, but then you voted against it, and the bill died for lack of a 60-vote majority. What happened there?
Well, first of all, Rachel Maddow and that bunch put out a very dishonest piece saying that I was a co-author of the bill and all this. What happened was I had another piece of legislation that Senator Murray grafted part of that into her bill, didn't ask me, whatever, and then just did it. And so I had nothing to do with the authorship of the bill at all.
Okay.
But I did... Yeah, I was on the chairman and then ranking member of Economic Opportunity on the Veterans Subcommittee in the House, and I understand this very, very well. And the concerns, first of all, the reason that the bill did not go forward, and I voted for it to go forward, and then we ran into a roadblock that it was going to break the spending caps. Right now we've got over $1 trillion deficit every year. So you have to, you have to adhere to the spending caps or we're going to get ourselves, I don't know how we can get ourselves in more trouble because we're in big trouble now. But I would have voted to do away with that if we would have had the ability. Senator Reid fixed it such that we could not amend the bill on the floor. And so we could have adjusted the pay-fors and stuff and done all of that. The other problem was in the bill was what this does is it allocates money for veterans to work in all various jobs, government-related jobs, lots of forestry jobs. The problem was when you look at the numbers, it would be about $50,000 per veteran participating. And so that would provide money for about a year to a year and a half for those veterans. And then when the money went away, the job went away. That's not a real solution. So we had an amendment that I very much supported, which we were not allowed to bring forward, that would have made it such that, these guys and girls get the training in these places. And then through attrition, they're allowed to get into the government workforce, as we need them. They would have preference. So again, all of that was turned down. This was just an exercise to try and, disunite us and try to embarrass Republicans, making it appear that they were voting against veterans. But on the other hand, it's so important. If we can provide our veterans that are coming back with good jobs, so that they can take care of themselves and their families, then we don't have destructive behavior that the VA has to work with, and this time comes by. But it's not just veterans. Half of our college graduates can't find a job or are underemployed. More of them living at home, than in decades. So this is a very, very real problem that we've got to solve with getting a better economy.
Well, there's so many, like you said, there's so many different stories going around about this bill that it's hard to hash out what the truth is because, we heard that this bill was paid for or going to be paid for by collecting delinquent taxes that have not been paid. Issue was taken care of.
No, it was. And again, that is such misinformation. What happened was the vote that we were forced to take, was the nonpartisan parliamentarian ruled that it wasn't paid for, and that's why we had to take that vote was to waive the pay for, and break the spending cap. So that's absolutely false. If the bill had been paid for, then we would not take that vote. That's why we had to take that vote, was to waive the fact that it wasn't paid for. That's what failed. So, again, that was put forward not by a Republican. That was put forward. That was brought to light by a nonpartisan arm of government that looks at those things. And they said, no, you're going over the spending caps. And again, we could have worked that out if we could have amended the bill later on. But Senator Reid fixed it such that we could have no amendments on the bill.
Well, just got about a little over a minute to go. I know Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney has suffered some setbacks recently in his campaign. There was this video where he seemed to dismiss 47% of the population that doesn't pay federal income tax. some other things that have been referred to as gaffes. Is he still going to come out on top, you think?
No, I think so. And I think what he was trying to say was that, you know, we can't continue down a path of a culture of dependency, that we need to help those that are in need of help. But again, you know, we have to make it such that we can give people a hand up rather than a hand out. And I think that's what we're all very much in favor of doing, as opposed to going down this path of the European style of socialism with tremendously big government that tries to do everything for everyone. So right now, you know, certainly in Arkansas, Governor Romney's doing very, very well. I think the race right now is very, very close. I think at the end of the day, though, that the average guy is going to go into the voting booth, and it will be a referendum on the presidency. And by any metric that you use, whether it is gasoline prices, which have doubled, you know, in the last 3.5 years, if you look at income, it's gone down from about $55,000 to $50,000, a significant loss there. Home prices have decreased, I think, 12%. The list goes on and on. College tuition has gone up. So I think at the end of the day, people will evaluate that, all that. And I think that the governor will squeak it out.
Senator John Bozeman, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, as always. Appreciate it.